Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Advent. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Bishop Michael Mulvey invites the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi and visitors to the area to a weekly prayer, fasting, and adoration on Wednesdays in Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Holy Eucharist is exposed in Holy Hour and Adoration beginning at 6 p.m. Because of social distancing, seating each Wednesday is limited. For those unable to attend, Holy Hour and Adoration is live streamed via Cathedral and KLUX Facebook sites, along with diocesecc.org/faithresources website, YouTube, just search for Diocese of Corpus Christi, and the goccn.org website. Click Live Video. Bishop Mulvey will personally lead Holy Hour and Adoration the second Wednesday of each month. Again, all are invited to participate in the Holy Hour and Adoration each Wednesday, 6 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral. Video presentations are a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well. And how about yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
And just so our listeners know, we are continuing to social distance while we're doing this recording.
Very much. This place smells like a emergency room at the hospital. It's just so sanitized.
It's very well, yes.
Yeah.
KLUX is very well sanitized.
Yeah.
So we have a gospel this morning that I think many of our listeners will recognize. And it's a wonderful gospel from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People from the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I hear the word desert, and I think of vastness and everything. There's uncertain, and there's not a lot of water, and there's probably a lot of reptiles and snakes. And it's some people love the desert. It's not a place that I particularly love. But here in the desert, we find John the Baptist in these harsh conditions, you know, dressed in different kind of things, and he eats locust and honey.
Well, I think, you know, these are metaphors, I think, for our present day, kind of continuing from our talk last week in the first Sunday of Advent. But there are times, as of now, we live in a desert. Mm-hmm. We have our own deserts, our days of emptiness, our days of darkness, our days of
loneliness.
Loneliness, harshness. We have these days. I mean, the desert is our life, part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say it's all of our life because our life is both. I mean, there's also paradise moments in which are so beautiful. But the Lord also provides for us moments of desert to kind of re-look and re-expect things to happen. So we have in the second Sunday of Advent, in our time of waiting, being alert, preparing ourselves, we have the image of the person of John the Baptist, who is that voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Mm-hmm. That's a call to us today,
right.
Again,
right.
As I said last week, to who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a wake-up call. Who are you? Because if we don't define ourselves, if we don't define what we are for, and more so than what we're against, in other words, positively, what am I for? What do I believe? What do I want? What do I hope for? What is my greatest desire? And what is my greatest love?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that are part of our human dignity, to expect these things, to long for these things. If all I see is what's wrong, then I live in the desert. I'm going to live in the desert. I continue to perpetuate the desert of life. We're people of hope, and we cannot let the desert snuff out the hope. We have to be people of hope, and that's why sometimes we're sent into the desert to wake us up that we need to re-enliven our hope. And so John the Baptist was proclaiming a baptism of repentance. So in the desert, we are called to let go of those things that that create our desert. And that's where a self-examination and the great Greek philosophers, you know, an unexamined life is not worth living.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't live your life if you don't know yourself, if you don't examine yourself, if you don't examine your own faults and your own sins and confess them, not just the little picky sins, you know, I disobeyed my mother and I did these, you know, as we did as children, we all, I don't think, I'm not revealing anyone else's confess, my own.
No,
you know, how many times I said I disobeyed, but those are,
I picked on my brother.
Yeah, those are sins, but the desert calls forth a deeper self-knowledge of who I am. And so John the Baptist was proclaiming that, almost as if saying, do you want to live in the desert the rest of your life? And the people from the countryside, the more lush, beautiful part, were coming into the desert to be baptized and to acknowledge. I love that part. They came and they acknowledged their sins.
Mm-hmm.
This is something for Advent, preparing for Christmas, I think is very important for us. And in the situation that we're in, let's take a moment, as we talked about last time, to rely on the Lord, to really get to know who we are in his presence. But in this second Sunday, it's let's acknowledge our sins. Let's not hide them. Let's not cover them up. Let's not glory in them or inflict them on other people.
Right.
But let's acknowledge them with all simplicity and humility and openness, transparency. Let's acknowledge our own sins. John then is described there as, in, you know, as a way I wouldn't want to live, with the locusts and the wild honey and I wouldn't mind the wild honey, but, you know, the camel hair shirts and all these kind of things. It's a stark image, but listen to what he said, one mightier. You see, if John had been out there in king's robes and rings and all these kind of luxurious kind of adornment, people would have thought, well, here's the one.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked pitiful.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke the message, but he wasn't attracting people to himself. And so he said, one mightier is coming after me, and I'm not worthy to even touch his feet. I baptize you with water, but I think this is the key for this week, as I said, to be people of hope. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Those of us who are baptized have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God is a spirit of hope. It's a spirit of love. It's the spirit that gives faith and all the other gifts and fruits that come from the Holy Spirit. How can we live and perpetuate our own desert by our anxiety, by our fear? This is a time to hope, to look up, raise your head, and look not just at the day of Christmas, but at what Christmas provides for us. Christmas provides us a Savior. Christmas provides us a person who has spoken to us in such simple, simple language, but language that can revolutionize every person's life. This is what hope is all about, and this is what brings us out of the desert.
I wrote down here, Bishop, because I didn't want to forget about it, when you said, don't perpetuate the desert of life. I think that is so, to me, I'm a visual person, but that is such a visual, mm-hmm. you know, when so if we start to get in those moods of getting angry with what's going on around us, or we're sad or we're lonely or whatever, be there for a little while, but then look at hope and get out of the desert. It's such a great visual.
Well, you've been to the Holy Land, and we were just talking about that mm-hmm. at the break, and of course I have too, but I mean, I've always liked going to the desert, to the Judean desert, you know, and mm-hmm. it's an interesting feeling as being from where we're from. We don't experience that, but I know I'm ready to leave right. after I've seen it for a couple of hours or an overnight. I'm ready to go back to the
lushness.
The lushness, you know, the city of the Jerusalem or up to Galilee or something. But so metaphorically, we do experience the desert. And the question is, do you want to stay there? Mm-hmm. You want to stay in a tent, you know, with the Bedouins, you know, with the sheep in the middle of having nothing? Or do you want to move forward? And that's a decision that's up to us. What kind of a life do I want to live? What kind of a future do I want to have and provide for others as well? Can I be that beacon of hope, that beacon of light? Again, I can't change the world. I can't change the country. I can't change what's going on personally. But maybe I can be, or we can be, a beacon of light, a beacon of hope at home, in the neighborhood, in my friends, making new friends. You know, we have to lift up our heads and be people of joy, and because Christmas is coming, and that's what's expected of us.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say this is the, you know, we're over the Thanksgiving holidays and Christmas coming up, and we don't know what is going to be ahead in regards to COVID-19, but this is a time to reach out. When you mentioned neighbors, neighbors that may be alone and didn't see their loved ones but need that reach out. Give them a call, drop off some cookies, just call them and check in.
Yeah. And I think a perspective on that, again, I don't want to make it more complicated, but in the second letter of St. Peter today, which is read at Mass, you know, we have three readings. We only read the gospel, but it says, do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The perspective, what is our perspective on life? Again, if the desert is so bad and we perpetuate that, it's like one day is like 1,000 years, you know, mm-hmm. we make it so, and then if we continue it, it gets worse. But in the Lord's eyes, 1,000 years is like one day. And that's where we put our hope, in Him and not in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. True. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we are going to read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The time of year when we come together to help Catholic Charities help our community with Christmas food baskets and toys is drawing near. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19, many of the volunteers at Catholic Charities are unable to return this year. But perhaps you can. If you'd like to lend a hand taking applications, sorting toys, packing food boxes and toy bags anytime between November 2nd and December 17th, please call Nellie Henry at 361-929-6077. All pandemic precautions will be observed. This 2020 holiday season will celebrate 54 years that Catholic Charities has provided Christmas food baskets and toys through Toys for Tots to deserving families in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Volunteers will be needed on the day of delivery also. So, if you'd like to help, please call Nellie, 361-929-6077. 888-929-6077.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in December, so we have our Word of Life. And Bishop, as I mentioned to you during the break, this Word of Life is not taken out of the gospel that we just read. And we said it's from one of the Psalms, and it's probably through around Christmas or something like that. We'll find. I didn't research it to find out, but I'm sure we'll see it later on as we start getting closer to Christmas.
Yeah. And if I could just preface this by saying, you know, the beauty of these sentences of the gospel that we read, as I mentioned, I think last week, that some of my friends, the bishop, we were talking about the Word of Life. They do it every week, one day a week. And the last month was Blessed Are Those Who Mourn. Mm-hmm. And just the situation that we're in, we realize that the reality of mourning stretches way beyond that somebody that's hurt or somebody that's lost a loved one, which is certainly a deep sense of mourning. But we're going through, as a society, as people, a deep sense of pain and mourning, but blessed are those. So I want to again bring that message. It was so beautiful listening to my friends talk about their own experiences being a bishop, but the pain that we see in people and the disappointment that we have, that's a pain that we have to acknowledge and help them to not live in that pain, but to get through it. And the way of Jesus Christ is the way that we know that brings us through this. Mm-hmm. So I just want to bring that out. And,
of course,
now we have a new Word of Life that can help us throughout this month of December.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27. The commentary. Shortly after Mariana's birth, the doctors told us that she had a severe malformation of the brain and that she would never be able to walk or talk, wrote Alba, a young Brazilian mother. My husband and I felt that God was asking us to love her as she was, and we threw ourselves, so to speak, into God's arms, entrusting our future to Him. Mariana lived with us for 4 years and simply left a message of love with everyone she met, Alba continued. We never heard her say the words, Mommy or Daddy, but in her silence, she spoke through the shining light that emanated from her eyes. We could not teach her to take her first steps, but she taught us to take the first step in loving, in giving of ourselves to love. She was a gift of God's love for the whole family. We could summarize all that she was in a single sentence. Love is not always explained just with words. Something similar is happening to each one of us today. When faced with the impossible task of governing our entire existence, we need light, even just a tiny glimmer, to show us the way ahead and the steps to take today toward the salvation of a new life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The ancient prayer found in the book of Psalms tells us that in every corner of the earth and era of human history, people have experienced the darkness of pain, fear, doubt, and loneliness. Furthermore, circumstances have seemed at times like an enemy conspiring to frustrate people's dreams for the future. The author is probably a person falsely accused and abandoned by all while awaiting judgment. Uncertain about the future, this person nevertheless relies on God, who has never forsaken His people during times of trial and tribulation. He knows of God's liberating actions and will find light and secure shelter in Him. Because this person is aware of his fragility, he opens up to God and trusts in Him. Welcoming God's presence in his life, he confidently awaits the final victory prepared by the unimaginable paths of divine love. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? This is an opportune time to rekindle our trust in the love of the Father, who wants the happiness of His children. God is ready to take upon himself all our worries, so that we are not closed in on ourselves, but free to share our light and our hope with others. As Kara Lubick, the founder of the Focolare, wrote in a gospel commentary in July of 2006, quote, "The word of life guides us on earth from darkness to light, from the I to the we. It is an invitation to revive faith. God exists and loves us. Am I meeting someone? I should believe that through that person, God has something to tell me. Do I have a job to do? This is when I continue to trust in his love. Something makes me suffer. I believe that God loves me. Something fills me with joy. God loves me. He is here with me. He is always with me. He knows something about me and shares my every thought, every joy, every desire. He shares all my worries and every challenge I face in life. How can this faith be revived? By looking for him among us. He has promised to be there where two or three are gathered in his name. Let us have an attitude of mutual love as described in the gospel when we meet another person who lived the word of life. Let us share our experiences, and we will enjoy the fruits of his presence, joy, peace, light, and courage. He will remain with each one of us, and we will feel him close to us and at work in our daily lives. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?"
Bishop, as you were reading through this, I went back to that perpetuating the desert of life, and I was thinking about hope, because especially that last paragraph where Kara Lubick was talking about being with people, talking about God and the hope and the joy that he will bring us.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and it's been a powerful session today, I think. You know, mm-hmm. this Advent, it's a remarkable opportunity for us, because we have been thrown into the desert, mm-hmm. you know, in so many ways. We can all identify how that has happened in our life, and that's that examining ourselves, being aware of ourselves, knowing how did we get into the desert? And I'm not talking, I mean, on our own responsibility, mm-hmm. what puts us in the desert of life? But for us who are baptized in Christ Jesus, there is so much power in us for good. You know, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit through the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We're baptized into God. God is light. God is love. God is hope. God is joy. God is peace. And it's in us. But if we choose the desert, it's probably going to get scorched. Mm-hmm. If we live where there's flowing water, which is the word and the sacraments of the church, mm-hmm. this love of God can flow through us. And we deprive others, we deprive the world, if we don't allow that love of God in us to escape and to go forth. And so I think that's really our invitation, at least for me, in this session of the gospel for this Sunday and then this word of life. It's what I hear for myself is, don't live in the desert. Don't choose the desert. Get out of the desert when it comes, or when you put yourself there. Know yourself and be the light and the joy of God for others.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about the water and the joy. You know, during our break, I was asking you about the Holy Land, you know, because the visual of, you have the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan, and then the Dead Sea, and you were explaining to me how the River Jordan goes from the Sea of Galilee, fresh water, and all the way down to the Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea, in essence, could be the desert also. We just mm-hmm. need to be that Sea of Galilee that's the fresh water.
Well, yeah, the image is, I think, coming from Mount Hermon or one, but my geography, mm-hmm.
You don't have to talk to me about geography.
But, I mean, the Sea of Galilee is fresh water teeming with fish and
beautiful.
Life, it's beautiful, but it has an open end of receiving water from the fresh snows. It flows out to the Jordan and goes south, But the Dead Sea, where it arrives, is it has no outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't flow through, then it becomes stale. And so that's the image that we can use, that if the love of God, if the joy of God enters us through the Word and through the sacraments, it's a flowing water inside us, but it has to go out mm-hmm. to others. In other words, if you have a gift, you have to give it away mm-hmm. for it to grow. And that's the mystery of God. God's life in us grows when we give it away, when we share it with somebody else. When it becomes privatized, it dies, and we become desertous.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I'd rather meet a joyful person than a Dead Sea person.
Absolutely.
But love them too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think Advent's also a good time for people who may feel that they don't have gifts to really explore that, because everyone has gifts.
Yeah.
Everyone has gifts. Maybe you haven't had the opportunity to share them.
But they don't have to be big ones either. They just be
no.
very small things.
Yeah. No, Mother Teresa said that.
Right.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.